Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the statement, cruelty is a sign of weakness. Expect kindness only from the strong, by the Roman Stoic philosopher Seneca. Listen as we open the topic of strength beyond the mental material limits of weak and strong to mortal and immortal. In this show, we will explore the value of accepting and living in the knowledge of the divine self. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and stand in eternity. So the title of today's show is Cruelty is a Sign of Weakness. My first question for you, why is it some people have this sense of being cruel?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with how we're socialized and our value system. And weak and strong are clear indicators of duality. A sign, I am in the wrong self. And the personal sense of self is under the law of karma, which means there's going to be problems. As we know now, the law of karma is the shadow of divine love, which will not allow anything less than perfection. It's the love of God giving us reason to think differently, to get out of the false sense of self and accept the divine inheritance. Because of the way that we're socialized, we never really get out of our lowest level of consciousness, instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival, which means we're hypnotized. We haven't individualized, we haven't separated from the influence of the mortal mind. And so we believe we are finite and we're vulnerable. And so cruelty is being driven by fear. People are intimidated by things that seem to be threatening to this false sense of self. So we either run or we fight. One of the things I always say, offense is your best defense. So a lot of times people strike out, but it's not the divine way. It is not spiritual inspiration. We're in a level of consciousness that we don't control our behavior and our appearance, and we're doing the very best we can with what we know. The problem is that we don't know that we can only expect kindness from the strong. And we can only be truly strong when we have separated from this mortal sense of self and now understand ourselves to be the divine self, the one perfect divine life that is not under the law of karma, but is under the guidance of divine protection.
I have a question for you about that statement that you said, the law of karma is the shadow of divine love. My question is, I always associate that anything having to do from the divine, from God, is all-powerful, all-knowing. So how is it, therefore, that the law of karma can overshadow the divine perfection? How is it that that takes control?
Well, see, it doesn't take control. It is driven by belief. Spirit is the only power in this universe. The mental material world of energy is what we have discovered is a hypnotic state. It is driven by belief. So what we have learned is with thought and belief, we can change finite bad to finite good. But in order for us to experience this wholeness, there's this innate drive in all of us. We want to return to the unified state. We want to be back in the Father's house. And in order to do this, we had to learn how to transform, to go through the form. Like the Bible says, put off the old man. Now, because we don't have any kind of leadership today, we identify with the finite mortal sense of existence, and we are pretty much stuck in this cycle of death and rebirth until we learn to separate from being individualized by this world mind, this hypnotic state that is driven by a belief in two powers. It's not real power, but it is the appearance of power. And it gets complicated to try and explain this because we're trying to understand it with the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. So in order for us to demonstrate this omnipresent divine principle, which is everywhere always, we have to stop thinking, which is how we are creating the false sense of existence, and then activate spiritual sense, the idea of the Christ, the saving aspect of truth, which makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. Without the Christ, there's no way of knowing the truth. And so even our religions don't understand this. We follow Jesus. We think Jesus is the only begotten Son. And in doing a lot of this, we miss the message of the Christ, which was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Put up your sword. Resist not evil. There's a whole different mindset that goes along with the human that has separated from the belief in mortality and relinked themselves with the divine creation, basically.
So when you said we have to get out of the false sense to accept the divine inheritance, how would we go about accepting this divine inheritance? How would we go about thinking differently?
Yeah, in order to really do this with any degree of success, you want a complete metaphysical or mystical system, because you're going to find it's way more complicated than just release and let God, or to say we are all children of God. In order for you to do this, you're going to need a path of action, things that you can and you must do. You're going to need a path of knowledge. You have to build a mental landscape that will support the divine principle, and you're going to need a path of devotion. Because without dedication and determination to initiating this developmental process, which does unfold in three phases, but I would say we start with your path of knowledge. You want to build this mental landscape. You want to know the divine principle is the only life there is. And it's perfect, it's whole, it's complete, it's everywhere, always. And then you start with a belief in that, because that's what the mental material world of energy is existing on. It's belief that it is real. So now you're at a level playing field, but now what you will learn is conscious awareness of this divine omnipresence begins to reveal the fact of the spiritual existence. Your belief graduates to what they call faith. Faith is where your belief in the divine principle is starting to reveal itself in your experience. So you're using the testimony of your senses, which can't bring forth the divine image. But we know all the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to the divine. And so if your experiences are not showing the divine qualities, then you immediately know you can't be conscious of divine truth. And so you have to go back to the drawing board, because everything's going to be contingent upon what you are conscious of. And then what you will learn is thinking about is not the same as being conscious of. The next thing is this idea of born again of spirit. You don't just dismiss the form, just dismiss the mental material concept of life. We have to master the mind-body complex before we can walk reason through this open door of revelation. There's a lot that has to be in place in order to demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty.
So I know there's a lot of information out there for people to try to get them on this divine spiritual path. How do we know if this information is something that we should even partake?
Yeah, I grew up with the saying, God helps those who help themselves, which meant to me personal accountability and responsibility. But this is human advice and not divine inspiration. It's what we do when we live under the law of karma and we are trying to manage the law of opposites. It will not get you out of the belief in two powers, and it will keep you in a false sense of existence, trying to figure out how the unreal became real. But by the same token, we must educate our thought up to spiritual apprehension. That's why in Kriya Yoga we use a path of knowledge, because there are shams and delusions out there esteemed as sound truths. So the thing that really has helped me out enormously is the information that I got from Mary Baker Eddy in Christian Science. One of the things her work really tells you, if you are not healing the sick, reforming sinner, raising the dead, you do not understand yourself spiritually. Now, what that has done for me is that it has given me a litmus test so that you don't just follow and believe, that you understand that spirit is a demonstrable principle, it's a law, and it testifies with deeds, not words. Like James in the Bible said, faith without works is dead. And so you can follow anybody's advice, but you really want to start to test what it is that you're doing. Inspiration and demonstration, because divine truth in consciousness resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the objects of sense for the divine idea.
Is this where judging righteously comes into play here?
Yeah, see, that again is all part of creating this mental landscape, because judging righteously is a scriptural command which works only when identity has shifted from a mental material basis to a spiritual basis. When fear and anger are understood as the defense mechanisms for the false sense of self, as we have learned, stand in fear and you stand to lose, even if the score shows that you won. The idea here is not the one who is successful is the one who has the most toys. The idea here is to know the truth that will make you free from the belief in mortality.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I have another curiosity about judging righteously. This has to do with duality. We were talking about weak and strong, but do we also have to be careful about other aspects of duality, light and dark, day and night, good and bad? Do we have to also be careful about that as well?
Well, see, the scriptural command to judge righteously means to see only the divine creation. What we haven't really figured out collectively is the mental material world of energy is the sin. We are still accepting the idea of what was called pantheism, the idea that God made everything. We think God made this world. We think God made mortal beings. And so we make the big mistake, we think karmic law, material law, is divine law. Once you clarify that and you understand God does not reward and punish, God does not do anything that does not have divine qualities. God is perfect, whole, complete, gentle, kind. These are the characteristics of the divine. Like we say, all the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to the divine, but it doesn't mean this world is spirit. What we have to understand is this world, like we had said, is the shadow of the divine principle. It's a reflection. It's not there. It's not real. It's not a something that we can fix. What we have to do to judge righteously is we have to stop thinking with the five corporeal senses, and then we cultivate what is called spiritual sense. Once you join matter and mind with the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, and you internalize that as your new symbol for validation, this is what's called being born again of spirit, where you literally change the reward circuits in your brain that you look for what is invisible and intangible to produce the feeling in your body that you're happy. Now you have mastered the mind-body complex, and now you qualify for this ability to rise into divine selfhood. But until we do that, we're hypnotized. And as long as we're hypnotized, we live under the belief in two powers, and we're trying to fix what seems to be problems because we believe what it is that is appearing in our corporeal senses is real.
So, Swami, would you say being strong would be a quality of the divine, or are we still talking duality here?
Well, see, the thing is what we have to understand is there's a difference between the human in what we will call the larvae state, one who is still identifying with themselves physically or mentally. And then there's also this option to become a human in the adult state, to identify with yourself spiritually. So the question becomes, who are strong? A true leader is one who serves and does not dominate. Real strength is the absence of weakness without fear. And only the true self knows no fear, no lack, no iniquity, no weakness. Because in the divine self, there is no death, only perfect eternal life without opposite. When you are the human in the adult state, you have what was called a strong constitution. You are not competing for energy on a limited level anymore. Your whole sense of self is established in a source of sustenance that is totally reliable, dependable, and it doesn't have polar opposites. It is absolute goodness.
I think it's an important concept for everybody to try to understand and work with, especially if you're working with a group of people or managing people. What do you think?
Well, I think it becomes very apparent when you have graduated from living under karmic law, material law. What you put out is what you get back. The idea of reward and punishment. Once you have accepted life is perfect, it's whole, it's complete, and you know this to be true, you're no longer competing for energy. You realize the purpose of life is to glorify the Creator. And we glorify the Creator by being that place where we start to reveal the divine creation, bringing forth the peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance. These are the qualities, the fruits of the Spirit. And as long as we are bearing fruit and we are pouring out divine revelation, then we are worshiping God. We are serving the divine principle. And we're no longer servants of the law of karma. We're no longer trying to get things in return for what we're doing. Because we know the truth. There's only one being, and it's perfect, whole. So we don't strive, struggle, seek, plan, or ask. We rest in that revelation.
Swami, is it possible for us to accept and live in the knowledge of the divine self in this human form?
Yeah, looking at the human model we are socialized with, which is void of the divine principle, I can see the one-size-fits-all solution for humanity is given in the scriptural command, know the truth and it makes you free. A simple statement, but not an easy accomplishment. Let's look at what Mary Baker Eddy wrote in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And I have some sentences here we can examine. One is on page 28, line 6. The determination to hold spirit in the grasp of matter is the persecutor of truth and love. End of quote. This is a statement here that we can use to challenge our human concepts, theories, and beliefs. Because when you weigh the human in the same scale as the divine, you render the divine law of healing void and obscure, or limit in any direction of thought the omnipresence and omnipotence of God. This is instruction for us to become conscious of the divine principle. But in order to do that, we have to put off the belief in matter. Understand, this mental material world of energy is not real. And to help us do this, science is starting to back Mary Baker Eddy with their discoveries in quantum physics. They're saying what we're calling life isn't there. When Einstein was on the planet, people thought when you weren't looking at things, they are there. But that's not true anymore. we know that what we're calling life is observation dependent. We're looking at our thought about what's here. But we have to be able to understand spirit is not governing that. And once you make that clear distinction, and you can now start to tell the truth about the lie, and then tell the truth about the truth. You separate the wheat from the tares. You separate the unreal from the real. And then you create the opportunity to be conscious of what is invisible and intangible. And like Mary Baker Eddy said, to rely on the sustaining infinite.
So, Mar, let's explore these from Mary Baker Eddy. This is on page 2724, module heading that says, Recreant Disciples, as well as page 2832 to page 29, line 1. There is too much animal courage in society and not sufficient moral courage. End of that quote. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, in our society, cruelty is a sign of strength. Look at how we glorify it in our pseudo-heroes and wonder why our lives are crumbling. No principle, no awareness of the spiritual facts. We believe in smoke and mirrors. We're lacking leadership in accepting the truth. Life is perfect. Fear not, it is I, the one life, everywhere, always. We don't really understand the message of the Christ when he said, if somebody hits you, turn the other cheek. Resist not evil. Put up your sword. Now, most of us think that if somebody hits you, Jesus is saying, turn your other cheek and let him hit you again. He's not saying that. He's saying, turn away from the personal sense of I and know the truth. Only the divine creative principle is here, and there isn't anything it can do that is destructive. It's perfect, and it's absolute goodness, kindness, gentleness. And so I really like what she said here. There's too much animal courage in society. Well, primarily because we never get out of the influence of the mortal mind. Animal magnetism is just instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival. It's all we know because we don't separate from that. And we no longer relink or join with the spiritual truth of being, our true identity. We don't know how to do that anymore. And so we survive, and then we build all of our values based on the belief in two powers, but we don't get the benefit of understanding the principle of one power. To be conscious of the divine principle offers you solution to all the common problems we're struggling with today.
So let's talk about, we were saying earlier, God is all. Can you just summarize that phrase for us?
Yeah, see, when God is all, and God is absolute goodness, then all is absolute goodness. There's nothing to do but rest and know. The key is found in the mystical I, accepting the one self, everywhere, always, without beginning or end. Nothing to give or get, just abide in the peace. But what about the mental material illusion? So like we said, tell the truth about the lie and tell the truth about the truth. There's no mortal sense of life. Life is hid with Christ in God. And to know that will make you free from the belief in a temporary mortal sense of existence with problems to solve.
That will complete our show for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, as you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you could press that would further your understanding. Swami, any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and stand in eternity. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to the program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga realization. Namaste.